Here, she said, and lifted her right thigh a little. Under it was a slip of paper, canary yellow. The registration. I tell him to keep his ticket in his wallet or the glove compartment, but it's always flopping around in here someplace with the Mickey D wrappers and the rest of the trash. She didn't sound stoned, and there were no beer cans or liquor bottles floating around in the cab of the truck. That didn't make her sober, of course, but it was a step in the right direction. She also didn't seem like she was going to turn abusive, but of course that can change. In a hurry. What's your name, ma'am?
Sandra.
Sandra what?
McCracken.
Do you have any ID, Ms. McCracken?
Yeah.
Show me, please. There was a little leatherette clutch purse on the seat beside her. She opened it and started pawing through it. She worked slowly and with her head bent over her purse. Her face disappeared completely. You could still see the blood on her tank top, but not on her face. You couldn't see the swollen lips that turned her mouth into a cut plum, or the old mouse fading around one eye. And from behind me,
"Fuck no! I ain't getting in there! What makes you think you got a right to put me in there?"
I looked around. George was holding the back door of the cruiser open. A limo driver couldn't have done it more courteously. Except the back seat of a limo doesn't have doors you can't open and windows you can't unroll from the inside, or mesh between the front and the back. Plus, of course, that faint smell of puke. I've never driven a cruiser, well, except for a week or so after we got the new Caprices, that didn't have that smell.
What makes me think I have the right is you're busted, Brian. Did you just hear me read you your rights?
The fuck for, man? I wasn't speeding.
That's true. You were too busy tuning up on your girlfriend to really get the pedal to the metal. But you were driving recklessly, driving to endanger, plus assault. Let's not forget that. So get in.
Man, you can't!
Get in, Brian, or I'll put you up against the car and cuff you, hard, so it hurts.
Like to see you try it.
Would you? George asked, his voice almost too low to hear, even in that dozy afternoon quiet. Brian Lippy saw two things. The first was that George could do it. The second was that George sort of wanted to do it. And Sandra McCracken would see it happen. Not a good thing, letting your bitch see you get cuffed. Bad enough she saw you getting busted.
You'll be hearing from my lawyer,
said Brian Lippy, and got into the back of the cruiser. George slammed the door and looked at me. We're going to hear from his lawyer.
Don't you hate that? I said.
The woman poked my arm with something. I turned and saw it was the corner of her driver's license laminate.
Here, she said. She was looking at me. It was only a moment before she turned away and began rummaging in her bag again, this time coming out with a couple of tissues, but it was long enough for me to decide she really was straight. Dead inside, but straight.
Trooper Jackaboy, the vehicle operator states his registration is in his truck, George said.
Yeah, I have it.
George and I met at the pickup's ridiculous jacked rear bumper. I do whatever the little voices tell me to. I eat Amish. And I handed him the registration.
Will she? He asked in a low voice.
No, I said.
Sure.
Pretty.
Try, George said, and went back to the cruiser.
My old schoolmate started yelling at him the second George leaned through the driver's side window to snag the mic. George ignored him and stretched the cord to its full length so he could stand in the sun.
Base, this is 6. Copy back.
I returned to the open door of the pickup. The woman had snubbed her cigarette out in the overflowing ashtray and lit a fresh one. Up and down went the fresh cigarette. Out from between the mostly closed wings of her hair came the plumes of used smoke.